Acts chapter 2, and then 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And Acts chapter 2 will begin down near the end of the chapter at verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And then we turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We'll begin reading at verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit, that is, we want you to know, of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord, and unto us by the will of God, insomuch that we desire Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith, and utterance, and knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. And we'll end our reading there at that seventh verse. And Father, we pray that thou wilt bless the public reading of thy word again to us, in Jesus' name. Amen. Following the service, we will be engaged in two matters. First of all, as we do every month, we will be engaged in remembering the Lord by our partaking of the bread and wine, namely our participation in the communion service. You might say, well, I don't have to be at communion to remember the Lord. That's right. We ought to remember him all the time. But the Lord Jesus has spoken, and he has specified and indicated a particular way that he wants to be remembered, apart from all these other ways that we do remember him. Whenever he was instituting this supper, we are told in the gospel accounts just before he died, he said, this do in remembrance of me. Do what? Eat the bread and drink the wine. So we'll be doing that in accordance with his word following the service today. That is, as Christians, we'll do that. But there's a second matter, and that is the reception of the first of two groups of people who desire to be part of the church family here in Bethany by means of full communicant membership of the church. This is an important development in the lives of these people. And certainly it's an important development for us as a church, for which we are grateful to God. And the importance of this matter is something that I desire to set before you in the service now. That is, church membership. The what, why, or the what, who, and why of it. What's it all about? Well, let's notice, first of all, the what of church membership. What is it exactly? What is the difference between being a member of the church, being received in at the Lord's Supper, and me just being a Christian and coming along? Well, let me show you what the significance of this is. Being in membership of anything is a putting of yourself into and a receiving of yourself by others into the fellowship of that particular society or club or association or institution or an organization. In so doing, if you join any of those things, you will be agreeing to be bound to and adhere to the rules and the principles of that organization, and also to obtain the benefits that such a society provides that is not open to others who are not members of it. You will also, if you join such an institution, be showing and exercising a commitment to it by virtue of your becoming a member of it. And I'm sure there are people in the congregation here who may be members of other associations and organizations and societies. If this is so with an ordinary society or a club, how much more with the local church? The local church means if you join it, you're coming into fellowship with others of like precious faith, that you are taking upon you to shoulder the obligation of its beliefs, its practices, and its aims. And you're also showing a commitment to it through its good times or its hard times. That will also mean that you will be deriving great blessing from the church if you become attached to it in this way of joining. This is exactly what these Corinthian believers did. If you notice verse 5 of 2 Corinthians chapter 8, we are told, this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. They gave themselves by way of commitment to the Lord's people. Now, a church, let me emphasize it again, is much, much more than a club or an organization or a society. A church, a congregation like this, or any other congregation for that matter, it's a family. And every Christian is a member of the family, and our elder brother is the Lord Jesus Christ. Or to change the metaphor, it's like a health center that many have to visit on a regular basis, where there are many patients, and inside there is Christ, the great physician. Or all the young people here know that school will await for them to attend tomorrow morning. And like the church, or like school, the church is a place where students of the Word of God will meet to learn and sit under the tutelage of the great Master, the Lord Jesus Christ. Or, to change the metaphor again, the church is like an army, and every member in it is a soldier, and we have enlisted under the leadership of the great captain of our salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ. Or to look at this in another way, the church is like a temple. The members are the worshippers, and the great God is the one there to be worshipped. Or as Paul uses in another part of Corinthians, the local church is like a body with limbs and parts to it. And that's what the Christian is. He's part of the body of the local church under the great head of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So the what of membership then is a definite belonging to, by request, by choice, by privilege, by acceptance and commitment of that church that one feels the Lord wants them to belong to. That's the what of membership, a definite joining and becoming a part of. Now, the second question that this raises is the who of church membership. Who can be members of the church? Well, let me say first of all that only Christians are members of the church. The Bible makes it plain. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 5 again. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord. That's the very first thing. Before they could give themselves to one another and joining in the fellowship of the church and the membership of the church, they had to give themselves to the Lord. And the Bible knows nothing of a communicant membership, of a membership of any church, with a person who is not a Christian. Now let me explain what a Christian is. A Christian is one who has personally received the Lord Jesus Christ as his or her Savior. That person has been born again. They've experienced a new birth. Or to put it another way, they have been saved. Or to add to that, they are now living for Christ. That is, they're practicing the Christian life once they've been saved. But believing on Christ, trusting in Christ, being born again is what makes a person a Christian. And these people first gave their own selves to the Lord. Now, they did not give their tacit support to the Lord. They did not give their kind regards and good wishes to the Lord. They did not even give their verbal support. But they gave themselves. They gave their whole being. And in this town, and throughout Northern Ireland, there are many people in churches today who have become members, they're in positions of responsibility, they're in the government of the church, and they have never, ever been born again. So the very first prerequisite of membership is that a person be saved. By turning from sin, that's repentance. By receiving the Lord Jesus Christ, that's faith. And then, as a person becomes a Christian, handing their whole lives over to him, this is the practice of the early church from the very first century and has been right up to now. And even though it's violated and transgressed by many people and ignored, this is the standard. The Bible makes it plain that only those who are born again can be members. Now let me say a word to those who are born again believers. How do you relate to all of this? Are you a child of God, but detached from the membership, the active membership of a local church? If so, you need, according to God's word, to seriously address this matter of your relationship to the church, the local church. Perhaps I'm speaking to somebody today then, not a Christian. Your first and main concern is that you become a Christian. You might be a member of some church, maybe even a member of this church. Although the elders of the church make every effort to ascertain that the people who are joining by way of full membership are born again believers. But perhaps there are people here today, church members here or elsewhere. You've never been born again. The big thing for you now is that you have to become a Christian. You need to be saved. You need to repent of your sins. You need to receive Christ. You need to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And then once that happens, the same way as the Corinthians did, the same way as we'll see in a moment they did in the book of Acts at Jerusalem, after you give yourself to the Lord, you have to give yourself to God's people by the will of God. I want you to turn back just now to Acts chapter 2 and see how it happened in the early church. Chapter 2, we read earlier, if you look just at one verse here, verse 42. And they, that is the people who were saved, baptized, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. That's the standard. That is the pattern. Now, first of all, the apostles' doctrine, what's that? Well, put simply today, it means that the converts made sure they got into the right church. Sadly, there are many churches and the doctrine is not right. They do not believe in the new birth. They do not believe in the miraculous. We'll have something to say about this tonight. But suffice to say now that the church has to be a sound church. It has to be biblical. It has to operate in accordance with the teachings of God's word. So these new converts made sure they got the right church. A church that was sound on the fundamentals of the faith. A church that was sound under the authority of God's word and sought to regulate its life by the tenets of Scripture. The second thing then, once the right church was found, the Bible tells us they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. That's a tremendous matter. Two Wednesday nights, a few years ago at our prayer meeting, we looked at quite a number of the one another's in the Bible. And we saw that God's people had to be looking out for one another, had to pray for one another, had to be kind to one another, had to prepare one another, had to make sure that we forgive one another. There is such an interrelating of God's people in a local assembly. And once these people got into the right church, they committed themselves to the fellowship of God's people and began to look out for one another and to work with one another. And that's the standard for today. Joining a church is not just a matter of having your name on the roll and having all the benefits that will bring. But it does mean I'm a part of the church fellowship. I have got to look after the rest of the believers. I've got to look out for them. I've got to help them. I've got to be kind to them. If there are cases of need, I've got to lend a helping hand. I've got to render aid. I've got to put my arm around them and give them a word of encouragement whenever they're down under it. Oh, there's so much entailed in fellowship. The third thing that Luke tells us here in the book of Acts about the early church, they got the right church. They got into it, they had fellowship, and then they took part in the breaking of bread. Can't get away from this, friend. It's there. It's an important matter, and not to be treated shabbily by negligence and ignoring the importance of taking communion with our brethren and sisters at the Lord's table. And then the last point that Luke makes is, verse 42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayer. That was so important. All the prayer meetings that you read off in the book of Acts, what power there was there. And I would just like to ask the Lord's people here who are members, would you have been lacking and lapsing in these last two? Yes, you belong to a sound church. You're in good fellowship with brethren and sisters. But have you been lacking at the Lord's Supper and the prayer meetings? This is the standard. This is the pattern. First of all, the what of church membership. Secondly, the who of it. And then I want you to notice, lastly, the why of it. You say, preacher, why all the fuss? Why make such an ado about it? Well, there are two reasons, and I want you to look at them with me. First of all, joining the church or belonging to the church as a born-again believer is a rational practice. Think about this for a moment. If one Christian has the right not to be a member of the church, not to obey the Lord and be involved in the church, then all Christians have that right. Would you not agree? If it's all right for one not to join, then it should be all right for everybody not to join. Now, the Scriptures do not acknowledge any distinction in one member and all the members. Secondly, if all Christians do not become members of the church, then there's not going to be a local church. We might meet as a congregation of people, and there is a difference. A congregation of people is different from a church, because the church is the communicant membership the congregation are a congregation of people, and they take in communicate memberships. But when there are congregational meetings in the church, they're only for communicant members to vote, to be elected. Now, the church has a clearly defined structure, and we're just looking at the rationale of this. Turn over to Philippians chapter 1, the very first verse of this letter, chapter 1 and verse 1. Paul writes to the Philippians and says to them in writing, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi. These were not dead people. Saints is just another word for Christian. In this instance, members, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi, with the bishops are elders. The Bible plainly teaches that from Acts chapter 20 and other places. And deacons. The deacons are the other tier of office, which is known either as a board of deacons or a committee, congregational committee. So the structure is the member, the elder, the deacon. That's the structure. Now, if there were no members, there never could be deacons. And there could never be elders. There never could be a minister. Because it's only members that meet to elect elders, to elect deacons, to elect ministers. And it's only those who hold membership can ever become a deacon, a committee member, an elder, or a minister. So if everybody says, I'll come to the services, but I'm not joining, we cannot function properly as a New Testament church. Think of the sorry state then of a congregation if Christians did not become members. Let me tell you what it's like for Christians to love the Lord and come to church but still hold back from joining. Let me tell you what it's like. It's like a child that's very friendly with the children or child of another family. That other family will bring the child into the house, maybe give it lemonade and biscuits or crisps, treat the child very, very kindly. But whenever nighttime comes, the child will have to go home. It's not part of that family that have been showing the kindness. And documentation would show that. And while that other family does everything to be kind and welcoming and friendly and helpful and loving and careful to that other child, that other child's benefits can only go so far with that family because it is not a member of that family. Same as a Christian in the church. Let me give you another illustration. In the harvest time, whenever the corn or the wheat stands tall, or the barley, barley that happens to be outside the enclosed field, the hedged field, maybe even growing out near the roadside, it's still barley, but it's not part of the field that has been enclosed. That's what a Christian's like, who's not folded in the fold of the church. Let me give you another illustration. There was plenty of building went on here for a year or two ago, and there were many blocks and bricks lying around. But that block or brick that's lying around needs to be in the whole structure. It looks odd to see the block or the brick lying around that's not being used. Well, it's the same, a Christian who's not in the structure of the local church by way of membership. It's just like that block or brick, just like that shock of corn, just like that child. So that's the rationale of it. It's the right thing to do for those reasons. But there's something more important from the fact that it's a rational practice, and it is this. It is a scriptural practice. We've seen already in Acts chapter 2 that once these disciples were converted, They got into the local church. Let me tell you about the Apostle Paul. He was the antagonist of the church. Would you turn over to chapter 9 of the book of Acts here? Paul hated the name of Christ. He was a persecutor. He was a hater of Christians. In fact, whenever we find him in Acts chapter 9, he's thundering down the Damascus Road to hail the Christians there to the authorities, to prosecute them and put them to death. But something wonderful happened to this man. He got gloriously converted. What a change came into his life. And after he got converted, he wanted to join the church. But he wasn't let, because they thought he was a plant. They thought he was not a Christian at this stage. It took Barnabas to prove to the people this man's genuine. But anyhow, Acts chapter 9 and verse 26. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed or endeavored to join himself to the disciples. But they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. Now, Paul is not trying to join the congregation. He wouldn't have been refused if he was. Many people were part of the congregation in the Jerusalem church. But they thought that he was not a Christian. And that's why they refused him permission to join them as a member. They deemed him not to be a Christian. Look at verse 27. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way and that he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them coming in and going out of Jerusalem. They changed their mind. They saw that he was a Christian and they received him into their membership. Paul wanted to join the church that he hated. Now, the second point of importance in that is that word join is very important. The force of that word join has the meaning of a bonding, like what glue does, not just to be hanging around believers, but actually to be a part of the setup. He wanted to be that much involved, so intense in his belonging to the church at Jerusalem. That's why the Holy Spirit uses the word join. He wanted to be part and parcel of it by way of membership. I want to come to a close and say, first of all, there are responsibilities for those who are members of a church. They need to attend the services faithfully. We've seen that in Acts 2 and 42. And Paul, writing to the Hebrews, says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. We need to attend the services faithfully. We need to worship the Lord conscientiously, reverently, cheerfully. We need to support the church generously and loyally. We need to advance the cause of the church enthusiastically. And we need to make Christ, who is the head of the church, known to others widely. These new members who are coming in today and next month, they need you to pray for them. They need you to welcome them. They need you to be grateful to God for them. We have lost so many with death over the past number of years, and thankfully we have received others in. But nowadays, if we can just keep pace with the losses, we think we're doing well. But that's not the way a church should be. It should be gaining. It's overall net gains. There should be overall net gains, not big losses. So for this reason, we thank God for those who He is sending to us. And to all of the Lord's people who are not yet members, I say, see the scripturalness of the matter. Seek the Lord's mind on what church He wants you to join. That's so important. It may be this, it may be another. But once you know what the church is, you apply and seek to become a member and throw your weight into it. Be committed and forward its witness. And let me say, finally, to those who are not saved yet, make sure that you become a member of the great church invisible. That is, the moment a man or woman gets saved, that moment the Lord, the Holy Ghost, puts them into the body of Christ. So they're part of the family of God. That's the most important thing to the saved. But after that, the scriptural thing is, after you give yourself unto God, give yourself unto God's people by membership. Shall we bow together in prayer? Our Father, we thank Thee for Thy word in matters that we take so much for granted or never think of at all. And yet Thy word has a bearing, has teaching and direction on it. We thank You for all of those over the years who have become members of this church. We thank You for the many who served Thee faithfully here, were so warm in their fellowship and faithful in their membership here, who are now in glory. We thank You for the price they were willing to pay in those days when it was anything but popular to be associated with us here. We thank You, Lord, for the example they set. Thank You for young ones coming on. May they see the rightness and the scripturalness, the importance and the blessedness of being a member of the local church, and give them grace to do that. Thank You for those who have applied to join with us today. Thank You for the work of grace in their lives and saving them, and for the desire to be associated with a church that seeks to stand for Thy truth and to contend earnestly for the faith and to be enthusiastic in evangelism and in the service of Christ. Bless them and their families. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.